Good morning and welcome in the name of Jesus Christ, and thank you for tuning in to another one of our digital services. Today, we're going to return to normalcy a little bit. We're going to reintroduce Luther's morning prayer at the start and also our monthly Bible verse at the end. And so look forward to those things being in our service today. In addition to that, I will direct you again to those comments below the video. You can find the bulletin printed out or the service printed out there on our church website if you'd like to follow along that way. I don't think I have any other announcements for us as far as the service. And so at this point, we will begin by praying together Luther's morning prayer. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I am the Good Shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, and I lay down my life for the sheep. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I am the Good Shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. And I lay down my life for the sheep. The Lord be with you and with thy spirit. Let us pray. Almighty God, merciful Father, since you have wakened from death the shepherd of your sheep, grant us your Holy Spirit, that when we hear the voice of our shepherd, we may know him who calls us each by name and follow where he leads. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The first reading comes from Acts chapter 2. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings, and distributing the proceeds to all, as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together, and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Today in our catechism reflection, we focus on the third petition. What is the third petition of the Lord's Prayer? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What does this mean? The good and gracious will of God is done even without our prayer, but we pray in this petition that it may be done among us also. How is God's will done? God's will is done when he breaks and hinders every evil plan and purpose of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature, which do not want us to hallow God's name or let his kingdom come. And when he strengthens and keeps us firm in his word and faith until we die, this is his good and gracious will. The epistle comes from 1 Peter, chapter 2. This is a gracious thing, when, mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his footsteps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he was brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Today I'm going to show you this picture. What is this a picture of? You got a shepherd, and you got these sheep, and then the shepherd's holding this little tiny lamb. Do you know why a shepherd is so important? It's because a shepherd takes care of the sheep. And in this picture, the shepherd is actually Jesus, because he is the good shepherd. And he always takes care of his sheep, who are all of his believers. But do you know what this little lamb's name is? I'll give you a second to think about it. What's that lamb's name? Well, I hope you said your name. Because the truth is that it's great that Jesus is a shepherd who takes care of the world, who takes care of all of his believers. But what's even better is that you are included in that. That you are Jesus' little lamb. And he has died and he has risen for you to take care of you. He died on the cross to take away all of your sins. And he rose again 3 days later to make sure you knew that he would always be with you, that he would always take care of you. And so we're going to play a little game now. And so every time you hear the words I or me or my, I want you to raise your hand. And we'll see what Jesus does for his little lambs. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he has risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. That was a lot of I's and me's and my's. And the truth is, it means that Jesus loves you and he truly cares about you as one of his little sheep. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, Help me to remain as one of your sheep and always take care of me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you have someone you look up to? Someone for whom you are brimming with respect and honor? Someone you perceive as one who is one of the greatest possible people to have ever lived? I can think of a few people God has placed into my own life who might fit the bill, whom I have the utmost respect for. And I know they're imperfect, just like I am. No better, no worse in the whole grand scheme of things. But the truth is that doesn't change my admiration. I'm not sure what laudable characteristics there might be in the person that you look up to most. But one laudable characteristic is the ability to endure suffering.
There are many biblical characters who fit into this characteristic, personality characteristic of being able to endure suffering. Of course, Jesus, our Savior, being the most important one, but there are plenty of other biblical figures too. I think about the apostles who, after Jesus ascended into heaven, endured all kinds of hardships and trials and sufferings, and in fact, most of the apostles were put to death for their faith. There are several Old Testament characters like Job and Elijah who come to mind because they too had to endure great suffering, even though they were faithful. It is for those who are enduring suffering that Peter writes his words today. For this is a gracious thing when, mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. This verse certainly applies to those that we read about in the Bible. It applies to the martyrs who literally gave up their life rather than denying their faith. It's about all the glorious stories that we've heard throughout the scriptures. All those who put everything on the line for what they believed. They're heroes. But this story, this verse, is also about you. We all experience suffering in this life, and sometimes our suffering is just us having to reap what we sow because we made a poor choice or a bad decision or something like that. But sometimes in this life, we suffer unjustly. We suffer for what seems like really like no good reason at all. It's in times like this that especially we wonder why. Why do we have to endure such suffering? On a personal level, I know I have suffered in the past amongst family and friends for standing firm on God's word. While it wasn't, and it honestly still isn't any fun, there's a promise in suffering. There's a promise in all suffering, that suffering itself is a gracious thing in God's sight. Now, I know you have all suffered in one way or another as well. Maybe you've suffered because your generosity has been taken advantage of. Maybe you suffer because you try to be kind to all of those around you, and yet it seems that you get treated poorly in return. Maybe you suffer because you continue to give your time to others, and that too gets taken for granted. And while these things might not necessarily be directly related to our faith, we are generous and kind, and we give of ourselves to other people because we are Christians, because we recognize the great gift that our Savior has given to us. If none of that's doing it for you, I'm certain after 6 weeks now that we've all been sheltering in place, I'm certain you perceive that you've gone through a certain amount of suffering. There are any number of reasons that we will suffer in this life as we live mindful of who God has made us, as we live in faith, as we live doing the good that God has given us to do. And honestly, our mind is no help in the midst of it. In the midst of our suffering, our mind only deceives us. It only misleads us into false belief. It tempts us to think that, well, if I do good, I should receive good in return. That's called karma. And it's not a Christian teaching. Our mind tempts us when we're going through suffering to ask, what did I do to deserve this? Our mind raises questions to which many times there are no answers. But God's word tells us the truth. It tells us what we should expect. In this life, we should expect to suffer, especially if you are a Christian. We should expect that rather than expect to be rewarded for any kind of faithfulness we have. If you want a real-world example of this, you need look no further than your Savior. Jesus suffered for you. He is the epitome of having to suffer for doing what is good and right, because he only did what was good and right. He was the perfect Son of God without any sin whatsoever. He never misstepped God's word even one time. And what happens when he goes back to his hometown? His family tries to throw him off a cliff. Throughout his entire earthly ministry, he preached only the truth about God's word. And what happens? But the Pharisees tried to silence him. He showed his compassion for the physical well-being of those who followed him, especially those who followed him out to a desolate place at the feeding of the 500. And yet, what happened the very next day? But they refused to hear and believe his word. He was reviled. He did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. Jesus suffered, he bled, he died on the cross for you, for your forgiveness, and for your eternal well-being. He was condemned for being the most innocent man who had ever lived. Jesus did all of this for you because he knew that you would suffer in this life, and he wanted you to have a place to turn to himself. Because even in the midst of your hardship, even in the midst of your suffering and your pain, Jesus leads you like a shepherd leads his sheep. He will guide you through this and any struggle that you endure with his word of truth. And even when you must suffer death itself, if it comes to that, know that Jesus guides you there too. Because he himself entered into death first. That way he could show you the way to eternal life through his resurrection from the grave. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. There are few people in our world who would think that our suffering is anything grand or glorious or honorable or deserving of respect or admiration. We're not going to get the same sort of press or glory that the Old Testament and New Testament saints received. But that's perfectly fine. Because that's not what our suffering is all about. Our suffering is about sharing in Jesus' suffering. Our death will be about sharing in Jesus' death. And our resurrection will be about sharing in Jesus' resurrection. My friends, the truth is that you are an heir of eternal glory. But the road to glory is filled with tribulation. So in the midst of your struggles, in the midst of your sufferings, in the midst of your tribulations in this life, know that your good shepherd, Jesus Christ, is leading you. For he is the one who suffered, just as you suffer. He is the one who died, just as you will die. He is the one who came back to life, just as you will come back to life. The sad reality is that we're going to have to suffer a little longer. But let us endure our suffering, trusting in Jesus who endured. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Bidden by our shepherd, let us come before his throne of grace in prayer, on behalf of all people, according to their needs. Blessed shepherd, you established your church with your sacrificial death and mighty resurrection. Grant us devotion, that we may abide in the teaching of the apostles and honor the fellowship of the church. Guard us against all enemies of your word, and keep us within the care of your flock and staff forevermore. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Mighty shepherd, you hold in your hands all the might of man, and you hold accountable those who would govern your people. Grant to us good government and good leaders who will honor your purpose, protect your people, serve the cause of justice, and defend our liberty against all threats. Give them wisdom and moderation in their pandemic response. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving shepherd, you loved the world enough to shed your blood, and you desire that all would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Inspire and equip your church and her ministers to speak faithfully and boldly your word, and bless all those who serve us on your behalf. Bless us especially when we are persecuted for the faith, or suffer for the sake of the good that honors you and is obedient to your word. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Holy Shepherd, you have clothed us with Christ's righteousness and taught us to love all that is good, right, and true. Bless all artists and artisans, composers and musicians, and craftsmen and writers, that they may employ all their skills for your glory and in service to the gospel, and the arts may testify to your saving death and resurrection. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Shepherd, your wounds are our healing, and your voice calls us to you in time of need. Hear us on behalf of all those who suffer in body or mind, who grieve those whom they love, and to whom death draws near. We pray especially for those on our prayer list, and those that we name in our hearts. Grant them healing according to your will, grace to sustain them in the day of trouble, and hope of the new and everlasting life to come. Be with the unemployed and the distraught, and return them to health and livelihood. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious Shepherd, you seek out those who have fallen and restore the sinner to repentance. Send forth your Spirit to rekindle faith in the hearts of those who have fallen away from the truth or who have been overcome by temptation and sin. Bring good from ill and increase in all the hunger for your word and a recognition of our need, that many may be gathered into your flock when church doors are opened wide again. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Giving Shepherd, you have not withheld anything from us, but emptied yourself fully upon the cross, that we might be saved. Move our hearts to such devotion, and teach us such generosity, that we may bring to you the tithes and offerings of a grateful heart, and serve our neighbor in need, with the resources you have supplied to us so abundantly. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O great good shepherd, we pray you to hear your sheep and answer our prayers with mercy, granting us those things profitable for us and our salvation, and keeping from us all things harmful. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. O God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works, give to us, your servants, the peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.
Well, I thank you again for tuning in to our service today. We're at this point where we're still going to have to stay apart, at least for a few more weeks. And so let's not let that allow the gospel to go unheard. We will certainly still embark to gather around what the Lord has given us in the scriptures. And so I'll encourage you to do that as we continue through these services. Do be aware, too, I will be releasing another service on May 21st for our Ascension Day service. And so we'll look forward to celebrating that. Maybe, you know, a few more people than would regularly be able to attend might be able to hear why the Ascension is so important on that day. We're just going to have to hang in there. So know that I am still praying for you. I'm still thinking of you. I'm in a way, I'm very disappointed we can't be together. In fact, in many ways, I'm very disappointed we can't be together. But we'll do what we have to do in order for everyone to remain safe. So, Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. We got one last thing. I did promise that we would have our monthly Bible verse. And so if you'll look at the bottom of that sheet that you have, or if you have your Bible handy, our monthly Bible verse for the month of May comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. God's blessings.